Welcome to another episode of the world famous award winning Picture Lock. I am your host, Kevin Sampson, filmmaker, film festival director, film critic, and lover of film and TV. You can find all the back episodes and so much more at picturelockshow.com. Over the Thanksgiving break, I was able to spend some time with family and have a good time. I hope you did as well. I also got a little time to interview my brother, Michael Sampson, for the first time ever. If you're a listener of the radio show and podcast, you know that I always give him a shout out at the end of the show for providing the music. It's no surprise that I'm such a huge lover of film. I mean, you're obviously listening to Picture Lock, where we focus on film. And if I am, then you know that he must be too, although maybe on a smaller scale, but you can definitely hear it in the music he creates. Today we'll talk about his career as a music producer and listen to some of the tracks that he sampled from movie scores. And if you're a fan of Stranger Things, you'll get the exclusive listen to his latest track, The Return. Ooh, this is one for the books, folks. You'll even get to hear me rap. I'm last on the track called The Greatest, which you will hear momentarily. When family's around, you get the real deal, and I think you can hear it in this fun interview. And that's all ahead on Picture Lock.
Hey, this is Mary Clay Fields. I'm director of the film Do You Like Peacocks? And this is Picture Lock.
Hello, my name is Anthony Green, writer and director of The Henchman's Born Thick. Thank you for listening to Picture Lock.
You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson, and I gotta say, this is gonna be a fun interview. And all the years I've been doing this, I have not interviewed the guy that's standing in front of me. I've known him for about 32 years. He's known me for about 32 years. He's been making the beats that I lay under every Picture Lock episode. And I know you love them. It's your boy, Mike S, the Prophet 13.
It is I, Mike S, your boy.
Mike is my brother. So I'm very pleased and excited to have you on the show. Welcome for the first time, bro.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here in this closet.
So we're in New Orleans right now at Grandma's crib, and we decided that we were just gonna make this thing happen. We are literally standing in what might be the storage closet upstairs because it's the quietest room in the house.
Yes, indeed, baby.
All right, bro. So first question I always like to start out with is usually, when did you first fall in love with film? And perhaps you can answer that after you answer, when did you first fall in love with music?
Well, I think it was when we were kids, probably your kids' age. And we listened to Criss Cross and MC Hammer. That is my first memories of hip hop. Is I think you got the little tape from one of the Nike stores or something, from the shoes mom bought. And it was MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This. There was another song on there. And then I think Dad bought you that Criss Cross, Totally Crossed Out tape. Mm-hmm. And I just remember us dancing and dancing and dancing with Mom and Dad to that. And I missed the bus.
Yes.
All those songs. So I felt like that was when I fell in love with hip-hop in its initial stages. Because it really moved us. It made us dance, it made us rap, and that's my first memory. So,
man, you know, it's funny because as you say that, that brought up memories for me. Mm-hmm. So obviously us being brothers, yes, I remember that MC Hammer tape and how we wore that thing out. Mm-hmm. And then definitely Criss Cross. And then Criss Cross back in that day, that was definitely when you would have those crossover episodes. So I don't know if you remember when they came on A Different World.
Yeah.
And then they did, I forget what song.
I think
song.
It was It's a Shame.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. And then I think after that, like, to go into the credits, they, like, did I Missed the Bus or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I remember that.
All right, this is going to be a good one, folks. So let's get to know you a little bit, Mike. You know, just give us kind of your background and history, because I have seen you grow as a music producer Since, you know, we were on that old computer and you were doing Fruity Loops and we were doing crazy beats. But give the folks kind of a history lesson of, you know, where you've come from to where you are now as a producer.
Yeah. So I think I started messing around with production when I was in like eighth grade, and I had a little MIDI keyboard, and Dad had the computer downstairs. I used to make those makeshift beats on the keyboard and literally put Dad's microphone up to the speakers and try to record the beats that way. But so I think also I'm a visual artist, so that played a part into my musical artistry. And in high school, I remember I went to North Carolina to meet some friends. And this guy said, hey, there's this program on the computer called Fruity Loops where you can, like, sequence beats and make beats. And when he showed me that thing, it was over. So I started, we had the demo version of it. So that's why I still do this today. I usually make the full beat in one setting because you couldn't save it.
Right.
You could not save the beat. Oh, so it would be like, I'd take like an hour or two to make the whole beat. And just export it as one WAV file. So I pretty much still do it to this day, at least lay down the full skeleton of the beat. I know a lot of people like to start stuff and come back and do it later. I usually try to do the whole project together. But it was Fruity Loops that I really got going when I was in high school. And when I was in high school, in my senior year, I started a hip-hop club. And it was called The Elements, because I wanted us to teach the four elements of hip hop. So
I remember, do you know if they still have that at Arnie?
It's not there anymore.
Oh, I doubt snap. It. Yeah. That we went to Richmond Northeast High School, Columbia, South Carolina. Shout out to those
the Metro.
But yes, bro, you did start that joint, and then they carried it on when you left for a little bit,
but yeah, it was done.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Lesson learned there. Should have gave it to someone more responsible, but anyway, after we did the hip hop club that summer, I was looking at this trophy the other day.
For real? You got it?
Yeah, I still have it.
Oh, snap.
Just for memories. But took one of the guys, T. Coke, Arthur Penswell. He was part of the Elements Club. And then my brother here, the Visual Kid. And we did, we started a rap group, really, and called it the Elements. And we did this Coca-Cola Jam Fest in Columbia. And we ended up winning first place. Mm-hmm. And we sampled the Cheers theme song and made a song to it. And we got first place. And when we won that thing, I was like, wow, I really think that we got something here. I think we could do something. And so we went on from there just performing. We had two more members come into the group. And so it was the Elements, and we had a lot of fun. We toured the East Coast. We opened for some major acts like Kanye West and Lupe Fiasco. Mm-hmm. I think that was just a precursor to my career now. And we were able to get a taste of, you know, the good life in hip hop and rubbing shoulders with all kind of people.
Yeah, most definitely. A lot of people, they don't believe that once upon a time I was a rapper. But I was listening to that joint as we were, you know, driving down. I told you to get you from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We listened to One Night, The Elements. And folks, y'all are going to hear one of those songs, one of the cuts in a second, because it definitely ties in the film. You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. I'm talking with my brother, Mike S. What do you want? You want me to call you Mike S. the Private 13, the whole thing, or just Mike S.?
You could call me Mike S.
All right. Well, we're talking to Mike S. right now, folks. He is the producer that has been laying all the, or he's already made the beats, but I just lay him under these radio and podcast episodes. If you want to follow him, Mike S., how can folks find you on social media?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Mike S. the Producer 13. You can also find me on Facebook at the same thing at Mike S, the producer 13.
All right, bro. So, you know, we kind of came up to the elements. Those were some good times. Yeah. We had a lot of fun. We were able to win the first Battle of the Bands at the University of South Carolina as a right. hip-hop group. And we were able to open up for Kanye, like he said. That was really fun mm-hmm. because that was when Kanye's first album had come out. Now, we did learn quickly that all the rumors were true as we opened up at the correct and appropriate time. And your boy didn't show up for like... He didn't show up for a good 45 minutes, and then he didn't go on for another, it seemed like 20 at least, when he was actually supposed to.
Right.
So much so that the folks were like, can y'all do an encore? Can you do an encore? And we were like, we just gave you a 30-minute set. Like, we don't got anything else prepared. But I guess that was a lesson learned. But he was cool enough to take a photo with us.
I remember when he came out.
Yeah.
Y'all were backstage. Y'all were in the green room. Then I went out for a second and I saw him in the hallway. And that joker had on a Gap rainbow sweater and that Jesus piece. And I was like, oh, snap. And he looked at me and I was frozen. And then I was like, I'm going to work with you one day. In my mind. And then he walked off and I ran back and I said, I saw him.
Yeah, man, that was pretty cool. We got to find that photo though.
I know.
I'm going to put it on the episode, but, I can't find it. Yeah, I know. I've looked on like, the old computers and everything. I can't find it.
You might have to ask the group members.
Yeah. I feel like I had it on Facebook a long time ago, but anyways, I digress. Let's get back to the music and film. So if you could just let people know kind of what you're doing right now, in terms of the music industry.
Yeah. So I moved to Atlanta about a little over 3 years ago. Moved on, with working with the Elements. We're still a group, but I really wanted to focus on the production aspect of things and make it a full-time career. So I moved down there about 2014 and just been networking, working with different artists in the studios out there. And so I'm working with a producer named Willpower right now. Shout out to Gray Matter Collective. And I think just being in Atlanta, I've been really learning more about being a producer, because a producer is really the person who brings everyone together to make the final product of the song or the album and whatnot. And I did learn that working with the Elements, but now I'm working with all kind of different artists. And you got to bring in studio musicians. You got to bring in writers. You got to bring in the artists, the rappers, the singers, the producers, the engineer. And it's been great shadowing Willpower and seeing what he does and the team that he's building. And it's been a great time.
So, what would you say is the one nugget, like if you were to give to a young producer who's trying to learn, who's, you know, making the beats but wants to take things to the next level, that you wish you could have known maybe, you know, a few years earlier?
Well, I think I want to say two. One, find you a mentor and latch on to them, and somebody that you can really gel with and vibe with, but is willing to teach you everything, and just learn from them, call them up, sit in the studio with them, just watch them and be around them. What I've been learning is just being around people who are way better than me helps my skill level to go up astronomically, you know, really quickly. So find a great mentor. The other thing is collaborate with people. That's one thing that I've learned with being in Atlanta is collaboration, bringing more different minds together on the tracks. It brings it to another level. The creativity to another level, and just being unselfish, because a lot of times we kind of want to write all the lyrics or do the whole beat and whatnot, but you kind of can miss out on where the next level where the track can go. So be open to collaborating with people, and it's fun.
Wise words from your boy Mike S. That was some good advice, bro. And I think the thing about it is that that not only applies to the music industry, that can apply to film, that can apply to business, that can apply to so many different things. So that was great advice. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. I'm talking with my brother, Mike S., who is a music producer. Now, you got to understand something. Film has always been my thing, as I'm sure that Mike could tell you stories about me and movies just growing up as kids. But at the same time, I think Mike enjoys movies as well. And that influence has also been heard in his music. So, Mike, we're going to talk about one of the tracks from The Elements. I'm going to actually play this cut. Now, the great thing about The Elements is we did not curse at all in our rhymes. So this is like radio ready. And that was one of the great things. Like, we were always radio ready. So people could always just say, yeah, let's have them come play this club or that club. It doesn't matter. We can play for the young kids or the
birthday parties.
Exactly.
Conferences.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into the greatest. First off, bro, let's go ahead and tell the people, who did you sample and what film did it come from for this joint?
I sampled a track from Hans Zimmer, and the track was called Mutiny from the movie Crimson Tide.
All right, let's get into it.
Yes sir. Yes sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yo, yo, it ain't your Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, Michael Johnson, Michael Sampson out to be the greatest in the field where everything is happening. Physically, spiritually, lyrically, the industry is full of little gimmicky, Jiminy, cricket tree. I said it out my Pamek and Marcus Garvey and Ali. Disciple the dreams of pharaohs and proclaim my prophecy. I keep it crook up on this track, just showing the greatness living in rap. You cannot contest with a lyrical problem, I got a providence and you lack.
Don't be mad if I decline requests to spit with you. I run with super soldiers, I'm swinging sickles, I'm splitting you, hitting you off with lyrical warfare skill.
He's so real.
I show you why they say coke kills. I interrupt the brainwave patterns with ESP. I graduated hip-hop, you with a PhD. My professors was J-Nas and the B.I.G. I can easily make G's off these ABCs. Cause I'm the greatest,
like Alexander or Ali. So cop my MP3 and boot in a cop the CD. Many men have tried to test, but few have tasted victory. Cause I refuse to see defeat, I'm claiming victory over the streets. Cause I'm the greatest, like Alexander or Ali. So cop my MP3 and boot in a cop the CD. Many men have tried to test, but few have tasted victory. Cause I refuse to see defeat, I'm claiming victory over the streets. I put my rhymes down on paper cause they can't read my thoughts. And you can rewrite it and listen when your mind gets caught. Cause poetry is my pastime. I make the effort to perfect each line, so each poem is better than my last rhyme. And they can't match mine with their wishy-washy rendition, wishing they can match the excellence of this exhibition. But I can never see the possibility of that. You couldn't possibly match the wisdom written in my raps. Rhymes like cartography, I'm putting my name on the map. Circumnavigate the globe, for you even leave your zip code, for you even see your packed show. I've already exploded on the scene without the lust for greed. And man, I only master mic cause they get lust for me. You brothers must have missed the memo when you mess with me. Before they rise like toothpaste to escape, they verbal face my rhymes and resonate through your place like earthquakes. Cause I'm the greatest, like Alexander Ali. So cop my MP3 and boot in a cop the CD. Many men have tried to test, but few have tasted victory. Cause I refuse to see defeat, I'm claiming victory over streets. Cause I'm the greatest, like Alexander Ali. So cop my MP3 and boot in a cop the CD. Many men have tried to test, but few have tasted victory. Cause I refuse to see defeat, I'm claiming victory over streets.
Like they wanna box me out or break me down. They throwing blocks in my path to slow me down. They beat me down, but steady in my face they smile. They wanna count me out and throw in the towel. But from the ashes, we came to light. Rose again like Christ and came to fight. We the greatest elements, play a test on mic. So take heed when you come against a chance tonight.
On this innocent, the greatness, we rolling about 5 feet. It's like I'm in the matrix, slow as y'all dreamers creep. So move, cause BB, here comes our jeep. We passing up these short west thinkers in deep sleep. So while you sleeping, I'm steaming, no longer wishing I'm living. And while I'm ripping, you're slipping to what I'm giving. You're giving to what I'm saying, just wasting. Half man, half amazing. Don't debate this or hate this, cause we the greatest.
And we are back. You just heard The Greatest from The Elements.
Yep.
Produced by your boy Mike S., who is right here live in the studio with me. Mike, what inspired you to make that track?
I remember going to watch that movie in the theater with Dad. I think it was the three of us.
Uh-huh.
But when I heard that track, I was like, wow, I wish I could get my hands on that and just do something with it, make a beat from that. And I just found a way. I think I went like to the library and got that CD or something, and then just was able to sample it on the computer. But I just loved Hans Zimmer's scores. The dark strings and the choirs that he put in there, and the emotion that he gave with that movie. But those strings, man, that stuff is epic.
It is. So Crimson Tide is a 1995 film directed by Tony Scott. It starred Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington, and basically within that film, it was dope because on a U.S. nuclear missile sub, a young first officer stages a mutiny to prevent his trigger-happy captain from launching his missiles before confirming his orders to do so. And the thing that I loved about that film is that there was so much tension. Basically, as it says, you know, they're in control of these missile launch codes. And, you know, they're waiting to see if the information that they have is correct or not. Because if it is incorrect, they could start a huge war. So, I mean, you know, it's something that they can't do lightly. And, you know, Gene Hackman is the man in terms of acting. And Denzel Washington, this is like a young Denzel. It's just a fantastic film. And so you're right. Hans Zimmer, who you know is like one of my all-time favorite music composers when it comes to film, that brother, he just killed with the strings, like you said. And it's one of those things that, you know, when I think about the movie, I also can automatically hear the score and the soundtrack for the film, because it was such an integral part. The way that the strings really just brought the drama. But then, like you said, the full-bodied epicness of what was happening, ratcheted with all of the acting skills in your face. That joint was dope. And then spoiler alert, because it's 1995, I definitely suggest you go check out the movie. But at the end, and I guess I won't say what happens, but it's interesting because they have this thing. It was about horses, like the white horse and the black horse, and that the horse actually, when it's born, it's black, and then it, you know, eventually becomes white or whatever. And so it's like this nice little answer that Gene Hackman gives Denzel in terms of, hey, you know, I'll let y'all see the film. Gene Hackman is saying, yes, I was right or wrong, and you are right or wrong, and therefore I'm going to say it through this story. It's a dope film. I definitely suggest you guys check it out. All right, folks, let's take a quick break for promos. Stay tuned. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for listening to and supporting Picture Lock. I absolutely love film, as you know, and have given my life to studying the medium. As a filmmaker, I understand what it takes to make a film from its inception to the big screen. As a critic, I've been able to see the business of film from the marketing side of things. And as a film festival director, I've been able to see the distribution side, but more importantly, the enormous amount of talented filmmakers out there creating and crafting stories from their heart. And that's why I've started PictureLock PR. If you're a filmmaker or producer looking to engage audiences and create relevance around your latest or upcoming project, head over to picturelockpr.com. We can help you with your film's publicity from pre to post-production. Get more information and see the clients we've helped in the past at picturelockpr.com. PictureLock PR, finally, a partner as passionate as you.
Hi, it's Sheila Johnson. I'm founder of the Middleburg Film Festival.
This is Susan Koch. I'm the executive director.
And I am listening to Picture Lock.
And we're big fans of Kevin Sampson.
All right, so, bro, let's get into another movie-influenced beat that you have. This one is Pirates of the Caribbean. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Hans Zimmer again. With this one, is the strings in there as well, but there's a flute part that really got me on this one. I love, he likes to kind of solo certain instruments at times and carry the track. I think with Pirates of the Caribbean, there was a lot of playful scenes with Johnny Depp's character, and he played to that with the music. Mm-hmm. So
that brings up something that I think is interesting, right? So as a composer, as a producer, does Hans watch the film and then he composes based on what he sees so that it is tailor-made? Because, and I know, I kind of already know that answer, but if you could talk a little bit about that process, because you're right, there's so many times that, like, you know, as he's like walking all daintily or like he's drunk and stuff like that, the music is just perfect. And it supplements what's going on the screen. So what's the process of that like?
Yeah, so I remember scoring one of your commercials. I think it was like Palm Tea. Mm. And you created the mood. And we were like in the kitchen or something like that. And you said, I want this to be kind of dark. And so I had to watch it several times and then choose certain instruments that I felt, which was a lot of dark strings, dark pianos, and came up with what we came up with. But I think also in the hip hop industry, a lot of times we have pre-made beats. But what I like to do now is sit down with the artist and ask them, hey, what is it that you want? What are you looking for? And collab with the artist and build the track that way. So if they want something real hype or lit, as they say today,
as the young kids say,
yes, they want a lot of 808s and that the trap hi-hats and drums, all that. I like to create that. Or they might want something chill and laid back, boom bap style, you know. I do that. But it's just bringing out whatever emotion that they want. And sometimes we'll lay down the track and have all the lyrics laid, but then we'll see, okay, we should take this out of the song, maybe drop the drums right here and add some pianos or some synths there to bring some emotion in what you're saying. So it's a lot to the process. Mm-hmm. But like I said, as a producer, you got to make the complete song come together. So hopefully that makes sense.
All right. You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. I'm talking with your boy, Mike S., music producer and composer. We're about to get into this track that he sampled from Hans Zimmer for Pirates of the Caribbean. Bro, so that was you don't even know the name. That was a drink that you sampled from Pirates of the Caribbean. We do know that. All right, so just talk about what inspired you to make that track.
Again, watching the film, hearing that sample during the film, and also I probably went through, at that time, it was probably 3 movies that they made so far, but just going through all of those albums and selecting tracks. But that one really stood out to me. I like the energy on it. Like I said, I love the flute part and just wanted to make something really dramatic.
All right, and that you did. So I'm going to flip the script for a little bit. I'm going to talk about one of our shared and beloved classic films. Now, there are a bunch of those, and I want to kind of talk and, you know, riff off of those. But one that we both really enjoyed, which you sampled recently, and, you know, you can't beat that old Willie Hutch, but The Last Dragon.
Ah, yes.
So this was one of those films that honestly, like, because back in that day it was VHS, so we would record it off of TV, and I remember we recorded it, and I think it might have still had like the commercials in between, but we might have pushed pause on some of the commercials. But literally we would watch this movie all the time. And so I just kind of wanted to talk and kind of share some of the memories that we have about that film. It's definitely one of the films that I have in my personal collection. I haven't actually gone back to it in a while, just because, you know, you got to pop that DVD in nowadays, and who wants to do that? But The Last Dragon is a 1985 comedy and... well, comedy, drama. And basically, in New York City, a young man searches for the master to obtain the final level of martial arts mastery known as the Glow. Now, this starred Ty Mack, Vanity, Christopher Murney, Julius Carey. This is some iconic, legendary, cult movie classic stuff right here. Is directed by Michael Schultz, and if memory serves me correctly, I think Berry Gordy had something to do with this, because I think it was like so let's just talk a little bit about this film and like what it means to us, because for me personally, bro, I mean, I still say just director your pizza to Daddy Green's pizza. Oh man, yeah, go ahead, share any memories that you
say,
got.
Leroy, you warmed up yet?
Yo, if you don't know what we're talking about, you gotta go get you a copy of The Last Dragon. You want to see a young Keisha Knight Pulliam? Yes, she's up in there. Yeah,
she's like, nice chopsticks, Natasha. Then they call her something else.
Yeah. But, you know, I think what was so cool about that film, like I said, that was 85, so Mike was just born that year. I was 2. But when we did finally get to catch up with it, one, I think this was one of the first times when I was able to see an African-American male in a lead role with martial arts.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of a predominantly black cast. And so that therefore it kind of had that black swag to it in terms of, you know, just the family dynamics. I could relate to that. And even like the fighting, the jokes, and, you know, show enough, Julius Curry, I mean, that brother was awesome. Like every time I saw him, the only thing that I could think was show enough.
Right.
Like, I couldn't see him as anything else.
Right.
But I think, you know, he brought his A game. Now, Ty Mack could not act. I think they got him based on his martial arts skills and the fact that he was a handsome dude. The same thing with Vanity. Like, she couldn't really act either, but she was pretty, and I think she was on the charts. And I don't mean to sound that, because that almost sounded a little sexist. But I'm just saying that, yeah, she was with Prince. She wasn't, she didn't have the skills. But I think she was like a pop artist. So it'd almost be the same thing as when we see Rihanna these days in a film. Although she's starting to get better now that she's been in a bunch of films. But it's kind of that crossover appeal, bringing people in. I do not want to sound like, you know, it was that sounded bad, but I didn't mean it like that. Anyway, moving along. So, yeah, this was like one of those ones that I definitely... I think it was like kind of coming of age for us. And so we could kind of look up to the guys. They were cool. It was that hip hop era.
Right.
And it was just funny. Like, you know, Leroy being, you know, Leroy is the main character and he's trying to ascend to becoming the master. But his younger brother was like the cool kid, and he would always be making fun of him. And, you know, trying to help him to become more you know, cool.
And rap and all that.
Exactly. And so Leroy, he was bad with the women, with the ladies. But when he finally kind of wanted to go after Vanity or whatever.
I think it was Laura Charles.
Laura Charles, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, your boy said that he needed to learn some moves. Could you teach me some moves?
Oh, it's the cornball. My brother ain't no cornball.
Man, that just... it's one of those movies that it's like awesomely good or awesomely bad. So like you could tell like the acting is just kind of horrible, but like it has so many quotables in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you.
Yeah, I remember I went to get my hair cut. This brother used to cut my hair, and I saw he had The Last Dragon on his DVD collection. I was like, man, can we please watch that? I cut my hair.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I know every line in that movie. And he's probably like 10 years older than me. He was like, you don't know that movie. That came out way before your time. I was like, put it on. And then me and him watched that whole movie and both quoted the whole thing. He was like, I can't believe you know this.
Right.
I was like, yeah. I said, me and my brother used to watch that movie over and over and over and rewind the scenes and play it out. But I think I agree with you. Just seeing a black kind of superhero, but a black martial artist, because we used to watch the Super Ninjas and Bruce Lee and all mm-hmm. that. But that really related to us with the hip hop soundtrack. Like you said, Berry Gordy. It was awesome. And I don't know. I felt like they did do a great job with the fight scenes, too, because they were pretty memorable.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the Show Enough character. When he came in there,
am I the meanest? Show Enough. Am I the prettiest? Show Enough.
I feel like they hesitated on that part too.
Yeah.
But like you said, that character is super iconic, and just seeing like people do parodies of it, like Busta Rhymes, he mm-hmm. did a whole video of being Show Enough. And I think people still have done it to this day.
And I think that it's really interesting what you just said, because when you said that, I automatically thought in the black community, because mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many, you know, people outside of black folks like watch The Last Dragon can quote it like that. And like, you know, I'm sure there are people, but I definitely feel like The Last Dragon is like one of those black family cult classics,
right,
that everybody knows mm-hmm. the words. And I think for the reasons that we just laid out. But, you know, I keep thinking about that woman. I forget what her name is, but she has the like faux singing career. And then Show Enough says, shut that up.
He said, who plays for this garbage?
I love how you keep going straight into the voice. Oh, man. Yeah, man. That joint is so funny. Oh, I might have to try to see if I can put that clip in there.
And Eddie Arcadian, that was her manager slash boyfriend.
And when he was getting her, Miss Charles, and they were kidnapping her. Oh, man. That joint was, oh, man. There's so many. Hothead deserves cool water.
Yeah.
Anyways, y'all definitely have to check out The Last Dragon. Obviously, it's a very special film for my brother and I. You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. I'm talking with my brother, Mike S., music producer. We're going over The Last Dragon right now, just talking about how much that film means to us. Mike actually has a beat that he just made based off of Willie Hutch's song, which I've been playing underneath during this interview, so now you're gonna hear how he flipped it.
Michael.
All right, you're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson. You just heard the Inside You flip from Mike S.
Yes. Shout out to my boy Shay Renaissance in Atlanta. He helped me out a little bit with that beat, with the bass and stuff and mixing it. You still got it. Do a little bit more to it, but
oh, snap. Who is it? Who is it?
Kevin Jr.
KJ. Okay. This is live, and I might keep that in. I might not. But go ahead, bro.
Yeah. I always loved that song. Obviously, the that part stood out, and just wanted to slow it down. It's a slower tempo beat. But I really like the trap hi-hats that we put in there. Who knows who will rap on that, but that beat's available.
Yeah, I just like the beat because of the tie to The Last Dragon and those warm fuzzies that I get when I think about that film. But that song itself is dope. I mean, Willie Hutch, that brother can sing. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, I don't know if, like, these days you get that type of instrumentation, because it's still like the mid-80s, and so we're coming off of a time in American music history where everything was played. Like, we didn't have a bunch of, you know, computers to play through and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of great, I think, instrumentation that's within that song. So Mike, let's go ahead and move on. Now, one of the things you had talked about was Super Ninjas, and I definitely had wanted to talk about that. You sampled from Super Ninjas.
Yeah, I actually did a whole mixtape on that. Forgot to shout out, you can follow me on SoundCloud, but that one is SoundCloud/ Mike S. The Prophet 13. So you can see the mixtape that I did. It was actually an unfinished work, but it was called the Super Ninjas mixtape. And I actually pulled samples from the movie with them talking and interwove them with some of my beats. Definitely the RZA-inspired, Wu-Tang-inspired beats. I thought it clashed well, or it meshed well with the Super Ninjas theme because of Wu-Tang. And if you've heard their music, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so with Super Ninjas, that was definitely another film, a kung fu flick that we used to watch all the time, and we watched it with our dad. Our dad really was into that, and yeah. That is where we got all the hoo-ha when we watch a movie. And you know, the funny thing is, like, our dad used to always do all these, like, sound effects, like when people would get hit and stuff, or like if it was like a really good move, then he'd be like, ooh, ooh, wee. And so, like, that
and
just
then he would grab you
or poke you. So that just became like a part of like what we did, and to this day, like, if I go into a movie, unfortunately, I'll be like, ooh. Yep. So, like, I was watching Justice League, and I was like, oh, snap.
I did the same thing.
But it makes it fun. It does make it fun. Definitely, you guys want to check out that Super Ninjas mixtape that Mike had done. As he said, it's on SoundCloud. You can listen to it. And, you know, one of the things that, like you said, like, Wu-Tang definitely had that heavy influence in terms of, you know, kung fu or martial arts films, and taking those samples, putting some of the dialogue into their music and things like that, which I really found interesting, because a lot of times, like, I would listen to a Wu-Tang record, and then later I would find the actual martial arts film that it came from, and I'd be like, that's Wu-Tang! Yep.
I think I did that with the GZA, Liquid Swords, that opening, the intro. And I think they might have watched that on Kill Bill.
Mm.
Like, they were actually watching that movie, and then I saw it, and I was like, oh, snap, that's the GZA. But then later on, I found the actual movie that they did sample that from. But, yeah.
Well, so I want to move into something that we both enjoy. Now, originally, we were going to try to actually do a Stranger Things review, but I don't think we're going to have enough time to make that happen. But Stranger Things 2 is definitely out on Netflix right now. I love Stranger Things, and I think in part we're talking about something, a show that has a high 80s callback nostalgia theme. Definitely has that Spielberg-esque quality to it, in which, you know, you have the children. If you guys don't know what Stranger Things is about, basically a young boy disappears. And his mother, a police chief, and his friends must confront terrifying forces in order to get him back. That is really not a great description of what Stranger Things is all about, because it is about bonding for this young group of friends, the boys. They bond over Dungeons and Dragons, and they're basically kind of like nerds and nerd culture. Right. But it's how they bond to try to rescue their friend, you know, in the face of danger. Millie Bobby Brown plays 11, and she just does an excellent job. And, you know, in the first season, it definitely was all about kind of her. And you have to watch it. And assuming by now, Stranger Things 2, if we're talking about it, most people that are listening have probably seen it. If you haven't, you definitely need to
go get Netflix.
Yes, exactly. But Eleven has, you know, powers, telekinesis, and she really kind of comes through and saves the day. But in Stranger Things 2, we're picking up when Stranger Things 1 ended. Eleven had disappeared into the Upside Down. And we weren't sure where she was. Stranger Things 2 picks back up right where it's about almost a year later. And I gotta say, I really enjoyed it. The biggest thing, I think, out of the whole thing, right, that I enjoyed the most was Eleven coming back and them seeing, oh, wait, yeah, spoiler alert. When Eleven comes back and then finally seeing her for the first time, the boys, and when Finn Wolfhard's character, Mike, who, you know, him and Eleven have this kind of, you know, kid-based but romantic, you know, relationship, when they finally see each other again, man, it was amazing because, first off, you're watching most of that second season waiting for her return. But when they did bring it, and the way that they made her change into that, like, kind of goth-like costume, mm-hmm. I looked at it and I said, whoa, we have a female superhero. Like, she's a heroine. And, like, she's young. Like, she's, like, 13 or something.
Right.
Which I thought was just awesome to see, you know, kind of, it's not the big screen, but on the TV screen. That was like my favorite moment of Stranger Things season 2. Anyways, why am I getting into Stranger Things? Mike actually sampled the first part of, what is that? That opening sequence?
Yeah.
The theme music for it, and flipped that joint. So you want to talk a little bit about that, and we'll listen to it?
Yeah, I saw Stranger Things 1, and remember some friends were like, you gotta watch this, you gotta watch it, you gotta watch it. And they were like, it's gonna be like Goonies-esque, E.T. I was like, cool. When I heard that intro, I was like, I'm flipping that.
Yes.
It's like it first came on. But I love that show. I definitely binge watched the whole first season and second season. But it was just the old 80s synths and moods and different strings that they used in that just stood out to me. So yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and get into this produced track from Mike Ed. You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson, and you just heard a track from my brother, Mike S. Mike, you know, what inspired you in making this one?
Well, I decided after watching the second season, I wanted to do like a mixtape, just sampling from the show. I really love the music. Doing another beat, you were talking about when 11 came back, called The Return, so maybe you could play that one later. But I just was like, man, this music is so good. The mood brings you back to the 80s. Like, mm-hmm. You feel like you're in that era watching it. And the storyline, like you said, just friendship, family, not giving up on one another, coming back and protecting each other, fighting for each other. I just was like, I could make something great from this, and kind of interweaving the storylines with hip hop. So I'm working on the mixtape now, with producing the beats as well as bringing in other artists, kind of to play out some of the characters. And I just wanted to be about, kind of flip it, us being strangers in this world, being different. So yeah.
All right, yeah, and I'll definitely play that beat on the outro, so that you folks can hear that. You know, I think one of the things that you brought up, which I was just thinking now, in terms of Stranger Things, that loyalty that they have as kids, in some ways I almost feel like it's a naivete in terms of their loyalty, because, you know, they haven't been through that much of life to be jaded. I feel like that's something that we miss at this age, that when you're a kid, like, all you have is your friends, and, you know, you're down for them, ride or die, doesn't matter. And life hasn't really, like I said, put its dirt on you, got you jaded, etc., which is one of the things that, as I'm thinking about it now, that I like so much about their relationships. They're so pure, and, you know, innocent. And even in, you know, season two, we kind of see how they bring in new character, Max, and so there's some love interest there. And so, you know, again, we're seeing those little first loves kind of blossom and things like that, but it's that innocence of the first time, it's the innocence of youth, which I think really does and bodes well for the show. You definitely have to check out Stranger Things season two. Hopefully we can do a good actual review on that joint. Yes. In the future. But you know, I have been very pleased to have my brother in the studio with me.
Your boy.
Or in grandma's closet with me. Recording this episode. It's been a lot of fun. Bro, you're going to have to come back on the show.
I will.
If you could, one more time, how can people listen to your music, find you on social media, if they want to get a producer to make some beats for them?
Yes, please follow me on Instagram at Mike S. The Producer 13, as well as on Facebook at Mike S. The Producer 13. And you could follow me on SoundCloud at Mike S. The Prophet 13. You could also email me if you would like to work on some songs or tracks, and we could negotiate that. You could email me at Mike S. The Prophet 13 at gmail.com.
All right. I appreciate that. You know, bro, why don't you tell people, how did you get that name, Mike S. The Prophet 13? Because it's so long that, like, but it is, it's been with you since, like, high school.
High school, yeah. So, Mike S., obviously, that's my first name, and the S is the last name, Samson. The Prophet, just reading different spiritual books growing up, and one of them was talking about, you know, you want to stand out amongst your peers, and that you could be a prophet amongst your peers, calling people to do what's right. So that stuck with me. And 13 is my lucky number. It's not lucky for some people, but when I was in fifth grade, I won the school spelling bee, and I was number 13. Yeah. And
I don't remember this.
Yeah. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
In fifth grade. At Rice Creek Elementary School.
You went to, like, the district?
Yeah, I went to the district. and I lost on the word tonic. It was terrible. Oh, you always remember what you lose on.
Yeah, I lost on grateful. I didn't make it as far as you. I lost on grateful. I was third at Rice Creek. Yeah. Dog.
But I was number 13 in that spelling bee. M is the 13th letter of the alphabet. I was baptized on June 13th.
Mm.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff that
June 13th.
Yeah.
Wow. Juneteenth. All right.
There's some other stuff, but 13 has just stuck with me. And never mind. I'm not gonna go into that. But when I did an internship in college in Atlanta, I worked with a producer there. He had Tommy Guns. He had produced "This Is Why I'm Hot." And I remember there was another producer in his studio, and he was like, "Your name is too long. You need to just go by Mike S. Cut that joint in half." But so I just started going by Mike S since then. Mm-hmm. But those who know me from South Carolina growing up know me as the Prophet 13. So.
Yes. All right, bro. Well, man, I can keep going, but we only have so much time. But like I said, maybe the next episode I'll be calling you. But anyways, appreciate you coming on the show. This has been a lot of fun.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Your boy.
That's all for this episode. I'd like to thank my guest, Michael Sampson, for coming on the show. You are listening to The Return right now. And if you have already seen Stranger Things, then you will definitely recognize the music. He'll definitely have to come back on, as that was so much fun. You can find Picture Lock on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Pinterest, and Periscope. All social media is at Picture Lock Show. Watch back episodes of the TV show at youtube.com/Picture Lock Show. You can download the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, and other places podcasts are downloaded. Feel free to give the show a hearty review if you're enjoying it. I really do appreciate that. Don't forget to check out the website, picturelockshow.com, for movie reviews, news, and to subscribe to our newsletter to get a chance to win tickets for movie screenings in the DMV. And if you're looking for PR on your next film or film festival, whatever the project or campaign, check out picturelockpr.com. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, you can fill out a form on the website. Send me an email if you're enjoying the show, or give some feedback at picturelockshow@gmail.com. You guys know, all music is done by Mike S. The Prophet 13. Thanks, bro. I'm Kevin Sampson, and until next time, I hope you stay locked on film.